Welcome back to Cow Punchers, where the beer is warm, the women cold, and the bullets fly thick. I'm, as always, the deputy, Stu Kaufman.
And I am your tiny casino Hitler, Amy McLeod.
God damn, I can't even top that. Listen, I'm Pat, I like Trigun, all right?
And tonight, that's right, we watched Trigun, Badlands Rumble from 2010. Directed by Satoshi Nishimura and starring Masaya Onosaka, Hiromi Tsuru, and Satsuki Yukino. And this was a good romp. This is what I think, Amy, you just mentioned a great thing about this in comparison to spaghetti westerns.
Yeah, basically. So I'll say that I've heard of Trigun. I'd never seen it before, so this was my intro to it. And watching this movie, I was like, this is everything a spaghetti western wants to be. Like, if they could have pulled that off in the 60s, holy crap. I'm like, Day of Anger, yeah. With that the saloon with the pistols, giant pistols, mm-hmm. flanking the doorway. I was like, they would have done all that shit.
You know that one of these dudes from Trigun would be wearing that one of those guns on their back.
Yes.
It would somehow be related to Christianity because it's weird anime and they're like America and the Old West in the future. It's guns and Christ and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And liquor.
Yeah. And you got, what's his name? Wolfwood with the giant crucifix gun. I was like, I am here for this.
Don't fuck with me. I have the power of God and anime on my side.
I was disappointed that he didn't say anything like, you know, like, God's going to have to sit this one out.
As soon as he showed up, he had his sunglasses and the deep V. I was like, all right, here we go. Here we go.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Day of Anger, too, because I think in that episode, too, I said, like, I want them, somebody just take the audio of that movie and then make an anime with. Just, yeah.
Guys, I've been seeing a lot of these, you know, we've been watching some of the spaghettis. I've really wanted these. I see them as anime, you know, because I think because I watched the whole series of Trigun. It's actually an anime series, not just a movie.
Right.
And so I watched the whole thing back in college, and I freaking loved it. And the soundtrack is actually pretty good too, from what I remembered in 2004.
The movie was no different. I was digging the music.
Oh yeah.
It's just so out there.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Amy, can you tell us what happened in this here picture show?
Yes. I'll give my version. Pat's going to be our Trigun expert here, so if I get any character names wrong.
Hit it, Amy. You got this.
This first meeting of the Cowpunchers Anime Club.
I will say this before you get started. Our main character is Vash the Stampede.
Vash the Stampede.
Otherwise known as the Humanoid Typhoon.
Humanoid Typhoon.
Yes. Yes. So, the story, as I found it, was we have a notorious robber by the name of Gasback, who is doing a robbery, like you do as a robber, and he's betrayed by his gang. Vash comes in and saves him, but 20 years later... He's not Vash, but Gasback wants revenge on the his goons that betrayed him by doing even better robberies upon them.
I believe so, more spiteful robberies is probably more
yes.
More of an accurate phrase.
Very spiteful, not they don't seem very lucrative robberies. Annoying his old gang members into destitution is what he's working towards. Which, whatever. You get revenge however you want. So, he's on to the last... I think it's the last guy that he needs to get revenge upon. Who lives... He's gotten himself a nice little town with a big old light bulb power plant thing.
Listen, the science is there.
Yeah, I was like, I love it. It's a big light bulb with, like, a, I'm guessing a big chunk of plutonium in there or some shit. but it's...
I'm pretty sure they got the idea for that power plant from the space on a Monopoly board.
Yeah, they're like, that's what it is.
That's where like. I recognized it. Ah, oh, there it is.
Yeah. So now everybody's like, oh, Gasback's going to come to this town, so all these bounty hunters are there because they want to get that bounty. And then, of course, there's some insurance agents there because, you know, insurance is important. So they're trying to make sure that the giant bronze statue in the center of town doesn't get destroyed because it's insured for, like, was it, like, $5
billion? $5 billion.
No. $5 billion double dollars.
That's right.
Oh, is that a thing?
The double dollar sign. So they want to protect that thing at all costs. So yet short double lady and very tall lady from the insurance company.
It's very peculiar.
I enjoyed those two. So they're trying to make sure that doesn't get destroyed. And then Vash is also in town, basically kind of generally getting in everyone's way, trying to keep them all from killing each other. And then a mysterious woman, Amelia, is also hunting Gas back down for her own personal reasons.
So in the original series, the insurance agents followed Vash around, basically, you know, taking care of the mess that he leaves because he's a humanoid typhoon. But the thing is, Vash doesn't kill anybody. He just does a lot of damage.
Now that's a lot of damage!
and not trying to kill people. Mainly he does damage in trying to eat donuts.
Yeah.
I love it.
I liked the donuts. And that's how we're introduced to him in the movie, is he's like, oh no, my donut! You're stepping on it.
I feel that.
And I was
deeply.
Like, I feel you.
That is his whole thing. That's a recurring theme in the story, and the insurance adjusters are just absolutely wonderful. I freaking love it. It's like, I don't know. It's like they're like cop. It's like a cop movie, like a good cop, bad cop, but they're both pretty good.
Yeah, I could tell if the tall lady seemed like the more lighthearted one, even though, like, they get to town and she's got a giant-ass shotgun. I was like, all right, I like this lady.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, she's
ready
beast.
To do business.
Yeah, it's like, she's cheerful. Well, I wouldn't test her, probably.
And you know, it's I really liked, after watching a bunch of these Westerns with y'all, watching Trigun, I definitely see all the Western tropes on display. Yeah. You know, like, there's a bank heist, and, like, that was very funny, where they have the statue up front saying, please, no robbing this bank.
Yeah, no
please
bank
do not rob the
allowed.
Bank.
Like, that, I love that, too, because you could tell whoever made this movie and clearly had a love for the genre, because I'm like, the story is like a straight Western. There's some kind of sci-fi trappings to the movie, mm-hmm. but I'm like, there's your Western.
There's your Western right there.
Yeah. It's in the bones.
Yeah, it's just, please do not rob the bank. I just love that. Yeah. It tickled me so. I saw them like, all right, we're going to have fun with this.
Yeah, and that bank, I was like, dang, they probably spent more money on the bank vault than what's in there. All the traps and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, they spent all on all the security. They just spent regular dollars, not double dollars.
Now,
is that a thing?
Explain, or is it just, explain this.
Please explain the double dollars.
I took some economics classes, but I don't think we ever went over the double dollars.
Let me just explain it in the only way that I know how money works, and that's in the anime world. Okay?
Fair enough.
So you and I, we spend dollars. Mm-hmm. But in the future or on different planets, because this is obviously not on Earth. This is, you know, they had like three moons.
Yeah,
you know?
There's a couple suns and shit. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they out there. They're double dollars there.
Because it's the future. It's probably inflation.
Let's not get into the weeds. Let's just double dollars.
Right. And as I pointed out to Amy, the the primary purpose of this movie, as with most spaghettios, is that it's just an excuse to see a lot of rad shit happen.
Oh.
Also, pew, 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 pew. Pow, 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 pow. Bang, bang, bang.
Gun fights were excellent and excessive. Like when they tried to... when they tried to corner Gas back at the coffee shop, which I'm like, come on, dude's just trying to get a cup of Joe. And they freaking like the building would not, which really it wasn't there after they finished, like, you know, shooting about a billion bullets at it. And of course he's fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh well, he's Gas back. They don't call him Gas back for nothing.
Yeah.
Which
I guess
I saw that name Gas back and I was just like, I just thought of like different transliterations of that, like fart ass. And
fart butt.
Fart butt.
Nice.
Oh man. Well, and you know the other thing that I love about anime, about it being just over the top violence and over the top gunfights,
yeah,
is that like, well, it looks like the gun is the tool for everything. Mm-hmm. Like, what? You ever see that Simpsons episode where Homer gets a gun and he's really excited about a gun? And so, like, they show him walking around the house turning off lights with a gun. And it's like, this is just, like, the logical conclusion of that.
Tactical.
What can't you do?
Open a can of beans?
You could.
I think that's squarely in line with even the old Western, Stu. Come on now.
Yeah, easily done. I could do that right now.
Can you use it to tie your own shoes?
It'd take a couple trick shots, but have you ever seen, what is that movie with Angelina Jolie where they do the bullet bending shit?
Oh, God,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, shoot. I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of what it's called. It had a weird name.
Curve the bullet, like in my favorite James McAvoy film, Wanted.
It's very dumb, and also I think some people actually went to the range to try to do that, because there were a lot of gun people that were like, it's a movie, y'all. You can't do that.
Yeah, unless you got some psychic powers.
Right.
Oh,
even then, I don't think that's how physics works.
Yeah.
Well, thank God we're in the realm of anime where physics are fully intact, where you can shoot down a building with one bullet.
Yes.
A man who is a beanpole carries around a gun three times his own size that's shaped like the Holy Cross.
Yeah, it's like a man-sized cross, and he's just carrying it around like, you know, a big umbrella or something. Like, whatever. It's fine. This doesn't weigh like 300 pounds.
Well,
exactly.
I'll tell you why it's important that he carries the cross around, all right? Like, there's a reason for everything.
It's his cross to bear.
Is that his cross to bear?
Hey!
Oh, shit.
Go to jail!
Also, why a man that pale would walk through the desert without a hat.
He had the deep V. He had the...
That lets all the, you know, the vents...
Yeah.
Yes, but you're going to burn.
Stu, it's space suns, all right? They're not like our suns.
It's not the same rays.
Right, and it's double dollars. I don't know why I brought that up.
Double dollars, double suns. Like, come on now. It's space, and it makes sense somehow.
Yeah. Yep, right. Suspension of disbelief. Pow, 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 bang, bang, bang. That's really why I watched this.
So I want to talk a little bit about the opening scene where we see the initial robbery. I liked the goons, because we had short little goon with, like, shot-off hat who grows up to be tiny casino Hitler, who may be my favorite side character.
Oh, it's a classic.
Then we have, like, skinny missing tooth man, and then, like, some guy who looks like goth vampire wannabe man. You can tell I'm great at names.
I'm awful with names too. And that the goth man is the guy that has the gold faceplate that has seemingly no purpose whatsoever.
Yeah, I was. That was unclear. I was wondering if it had to do with perhaps the injuries he sustained by being flicked in the face
by a man who's got that, you know, gas back, who I think we can all agree is the world wrestling champion.
And his name is John Cena!
Judging by his belt buckle alone.
Yeah,
so
like Undertaker,
he's a big, powerful man.
He had a big old fist, too. Like, it was much bigger than any other character's hands. And instead of punching that guy in the face after he betrayed him, he holds him up in one hand and literally just thumb and forefinger flicks him, like, too many times in the face.
Well, his fingers are, like, as big around as that man's arm, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's like getting punched. I think if he punched him, his head would have come clean off. But it was just a really funny, like, thing to see. I don't know. I really enjoyed that.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the whole thing about Trigun that I really like, is it doesn't take itself that seriously. You know? Part of the series, one of the recurring themes, or one of the recurring characters that we saw a couple times in the background shots, if you paid attention, is a black cat with, like, big, huge eyes.
Yeah.
And that cat just hangs out and, like, gets into hijinks in the background of shots in the show, always. And so, like, you're always... And when I bought the action figure of Trigun, because, of course, I was that guy, it came with a cat.
Nerd.
We're all nerds here.
We're all nerds here, Stu. Come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want me digging up, putting airing out some of your
Star Trek glass here, so.
Oh, come on. But yeah, it came with, so I like that no matter what, there's comic relief in Trigun. In addition to his obsession with donuts and his, like, he's playing a classic clown. He's always trying to eat food and keep people from getting hurt, and that's his whole MO. And then Westerns happen around him.
Yeah, I kind of like that as his character as the pacifist. Because, like, they do make it clear near the end that it's like, no, like, he's really talented. Like, he could kill a lot of people if he wanted to. He's not just this goofball that he's acting like. But he was definitely... I loved how his attempts to defuse situations were very funny. Like, at the bar when the huge bar fight breaks out.
Yes.
And he's kind of going around like, all right, everybody, let's have a good time, have a drink. And he's kind of slinking around. And then you're like, what is he doing? And then, of course, as bar fights go, everybody pulls their guns out at each other. And they're like, huh? Like, nothing's firing. And it's because he'd stolen everybody's bullets.
This is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I love
is
that.
A grown man with like an arm full of bullets. Yeah. Just like it's a bushel of bullets straight off the tree.
Oh God, I love that.
Yeah, and then like I was what's her face?
Amelia.
Amelia sees him and he's like, ah.
Yeah.
Dumps them all.
Too many bullets. Oh shoot.
Too many bullets. Becca has suggested that an alternate title for this movie is Fistful of Double Dollars.
There you go.
Double fisting double dollars.
Oh, God.
Double fisting double dollars, therefore quadrupling your investment.
So many.
Oh, my God.
The insurance.
That's how economics works, right?
I love that she was having stress dreams about, like, the insurance problem.
Yeah, she's like $5 billion.
Like, while Amelia's having these, like, emotional, like, remembrances of her mother.
Right.
And the power glove that's the family secret, which is so good. Spoilers, it's a power glove.
Nintendo power glove, that's right.
Oh, that was killing me. That was killing me with Amelia, because, like, I knew it was like, all right, she's got some connection to Gasback, and I was like, all right, he either, like, killed her brother or... her father, or stole her family treasure, or maybe he's her father. So yeah, which, you know. But
bingo.
There you go. So she's kept it. They kept going back to like her as a child, and her mother's like dying of some illness. It looks like, and she kept being like, "Well, if you hadn't let Gasback go, 20 years ago, then, you know, my mother wouldn't have died. And I was like, what, did he get her sick? Like, they didn't, it wasn't clear, like, till the end that it's like,
it's because she's a little gas back.
Yeah, it's like, oh, gas back was your father.
Which, if you're a little gas back, you take some Beano and you'll feel better.
Yeah, and it was like, it was kind of in a roundabout way. But then I was like, well, then also you never would have been born, which, I mean, I guess.
That's a problem, too.
Well, that's also like.
Existential.
Yeah, y'all ever watch anime? That's very anime.
Yeah.
Like, I know, I was like, that's good. That's her dad or some shit. And I'm like.
The burden of existence where they're just like, oh, if only I had never existed at all.
None of this would have happened. Yeah, long scenes where you just hear.
You know what's going to help that, Stu?
Yes.
Gas back. Applied directly to the forehead. Apply directly to the forehead. Gas back.
Shoot. I miss those commercials.
Gas back.
Apply directly to the forehead.
Gas back.
Apply directly to the forehead.
Gas back.
Apply directly to the forehead.
Fart ass.
Available at Walgreens.
Oh, man. Two themes I liked in this movie. One was donuts.
Agreed.
And the other one was just chaos. Just the rampant chaos. Just... that these people wreaked on one another. Oh my God. It was escapism at its best. And just like that saloon scene that we just talked about. The fight. That was a good old fashioned fist fight.
So
and
good.
The collection.
Like one guy's like, this fight doesn't involve you. And he's like, I don't care. I'm just going to fight somebody.
Yeah, one guy, like, so there were a couple of goons who were harassing Amelia on the boat train. On the way to this town, and
it scratched my Mad Max itch. I'm just saying, big old hovercraft in the desert. I'm on board.
Oh, it was so Mad Max, and they had like the caravan behind it. I was like, I like this.
Mwah.
I like this
beauty. Anyway,
So
the goons who are harassing her on the
they're harassing her on the hovercraft, and like that's when Vash kind of comes in and helps, because she's holding her, she's like kicking their butts, but he kind of steps in, yeah, lots of ball kicks. She's a kicker, she'll kick you
right in the balls.
You're gonna
feel it.
she got a good kick on her.
Rightly so, though.
Yeah, they were being real, not HR friendly.
Whoa, putting it lightly.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, a little Chris Hansen over there. So he stepped in. It was funny because like he's like kind of in the, like he kind of just gets in the way, and he's kind of like, oh, you dropped a knife earlier, and I'm looking for it, and they're like. What the fuck? Can't you see we're like fighting here? Like, and then he's like, "Oh, I found it. Can I use it?" And the guy's like, "No." So then he gives the guy his knife back, and then when the guy goes to stab him, he like breaks it, and it flies into the foreheads of both dudes. It was perfect.
That was also a delight.
He was trying to get that knife so he could cut off a piece of. Smoked Thomas.
I want some Smoked Thomas.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
What is some
Thomas meat. Is that missing
Thomas
translation?
Why are we eating him?
Is this featured in the show?
I've never heard that before. Is it the tank engine? I don't know.
Because it seemed like, because I saw a guy like trying to cut something off a big brown blob, and I thought he was just whittling. Turns out that's a meat?
Turns out that's food.
That's Thomas.
That's Thomas. Cheeky, fussy little engine.
Like, I have no idea. It's like, yeah. That was such an alarming little detail. Like, are they fucking cannibals? What the shit? I don't remember this from the show.
It's like jerk meat or something.
Part of me is
maybe
like,
in Japan they call jerks Tom or something. Oh, yeah. You're just being such a Tom right now.
Right? I mean, this was on Tubi. Perhaps there was some odd translation going on.
Yeah, we'll have to find a dub and see what they call it in the dub. but that meat does come back because Vash does get shot at one point, and it's you know, in some cases, like, oh, the Holy Bible caught the bullet. No, the Thomas meat caught the bullet.
Hard smoke Thomas sure is a hell of a ration to keep on you while you're traveling.
Oh, also, shit. Can we talk about that dead drop? That was a fantastic dead drop.
Oh, it was amazing. Amazing.
Because, like, I feel like this is the... deaths in Westerns are amazing. Deaths in anime are also amazing. So if you have a Western anime, the best deaths ever, where they're just like
chef's kiss,
they're just dramatically lit. Everything's floaty. Everything sounds like, I don't know, like it's equal parts quiet and loud. I can't even explain it.
Yeah. Like he's all in shadow, but his sunglasses are reflecting, and then there's like the sunset behind him. I was like, oh my god, chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
delightful. Love it.
Truly delightful, like over the top, delightful, well executed.
Oh,
seal of approval.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I know. I'm saying, like, if they had had the technology to film a deadfall like that in the 60s, they'd have done it in every movie.
Every single
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally, man. Totally.
With like an Ennio Morricone, you know, soundtrack overlaid.
Oh God, you're killing me. That would be so awesome. Do like a slow pan, like around the person falling as. Oh
yeah.
You know, the hero falls back while the shooter, probably Lee Van Cleef, gets like a smug look as he turns away.
Yeah.
Either that or he just like the scene would be Lee Van Cleef looking. And then, like, turning in profile, and as soon as he turns to profile, he falls into darkness, and the brim of his hat goes down. And
yes.
And then, of course, you know, like, I don't know, a Japanese maple, like, releases its leaves in a breeze, and it's just... Because it's anime. We've all seen this.
Oh, yeah. And it is delicious. I could eat this morning, noon, and night.
It was great.
Now, I know that we're a small podcast, right? But if we're going to get behind any single effort, I feel like it's got to be a Lee Van Cleef anime.
Oh, yes. My God. How?
Yes.
What Kickstarter do we need to start?
Hit the lottery tomorrow. Yeah. We're going to take Day of Anger and be like, this needs to be made.
Fast. Do the thing.
Right. You have the audio. Just go nuts. Go nuts.
Like, and we're going to need to hire, like, we're going to have to get one of those Italian, like, surf rock bands to do the wild guitar riffs through their, like, nicely distorted, echoey steel guitars that are just like,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Okay. So just as long as we're on the same page, I'll buy some lottery tickets. We'll persuade our listeners to I don't know, like sign a petition at change.org.
Yes. Then we can take that to some animation studios and try and get this thing done right.
Right. Take the audio of a spaghetti western featuring Lee Van Cleef and turn it into a bitchin' movie.
Yeah, like, do we need to contact the estate of Lee Van Cleef to use his likeness, or...
I mean, I'm assuming we can use the Rango deal. Like, it was fine in Rango if we had a...
Just change him enough.
Exactly. Yeah. But also, like, I already have the stretch goal. If we meet the stretch goal... Then we just we get Japanese voice actors to voice the anime and then have a Japanese release.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. They'd love it. Who wouldn't?
Who does it?
Oh. I want this so bad.
Me too. Like, I would watch that entire series. I'd go to cons. I would go to cons, y'all.
It would make Sartana that much more interesting.
I just had a thought. So I was reading an article about spaghetti westerns, just Googling around, and I saw somewhere a list of Quentin Tarantino's favorite spaghetti westerns. Ooh. Day of Anger was on the list.
Yes.
So,
whoa.
And doesn't Quentin Tarantino, he also likes like samurai movies and stuff, so... I think if we can get him behind this, we get it done.
All right. Yes. Quentin Tarantino. Quentin, if you're listening to this podcast, we got an idea.
call me.
Call us, please. That's right. You can reach out to us at cowpunchersshow@gmail.com.
Are we anywhere else? Like, are we on a social media?
We are on Twitter at cowpunchersshow.
See?
So
we just gotta at Quentin Tarantino.
Tarantino.
At you know, real Quentin Tarantino.
I'm gonna do that.
Please.
Do it. Lay it all out.
Yeah.
Well, don't lay it all out. Leave some
I'll
mystery.
I'll just do at Quentin Tarantino and I'll say Day of Anger anime ? That'll be it. So listeners, please find that tweet and like it. So that he can maybe see it.
Right, let's make this go huge. He'll just write back, no.
Oh, man. What we got to have a clever hashtag for this, don't we? Does it have to be like Day of Anime? No, that's too... That's not.
That could be anything.
That could be anything. Anime
we'll
anger. No, that could be... We'll workshop it. It's,
yeah. Lee Van Anime.
Leave Van.
Oh, that's good.
Leave Vaname Cleef.
Leave Vaname Cleef.
Yes. Yes. This we is need why this. I don't. This is why I'm not on the Twitters. This is exactly why.
There's enough meaningless drivel on there. I don't think any of the nonsense we spelt would be out of place.
Oh, holy you know the shit. Other thing? Like, I'm looking over my notes for this movie, and, like, so I like that we get to the final kind of meeting where it's Kane, who is the metal face guy.
Yeah.
And Gasback and Trigun and what's his name? Wolfwood is there, too. And there's like a bunch of confusion, and like in the fog of war, Kane presses the red button on what is like, I don't know, an umbrella holder, I guess, and just rockets out of there.
That was on an urn.
It's like, what the fuck?
And the way that it flew off, I thought for sure that he flew to his death because it like crashed in the center of town. And I was like, all right, that wrapped up pretty nicely.
Well,
Becca saw that and she said, "Oh, looks like Team Rocket's blasting off again."
They're trying to steal Vash's Pikachu.
Gotta catch them all.
Rude.
Gotta catch all those double dollars.
All those.
Oh, I'm dead. I've died.
We killed Pat. Oh God!
We killed him. We did it. Podcast over.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh man.
Oh shit.
But like, and then later, next time we see Kane, he's got a giant gold rocket with his face on the front. Like,
yeah.
And this is what I love about anime. It's like, hell yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, sure.
It's fine. Go for it. He just had one of those in his backyard. Like, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
You know what? I applaud it. Because if a saloon can have giant novelty pistols holding up the front porch, then by God, the bad guy can have a torpedo with his face on it.
Sure.
Like some sort of Batman villain.
It is Tim Burton-esque, is it not?
Yeah. Oh, it was fantastic. I think even, I can't remember which character, but someone was like, wow, look at that missile.
Whoa, that design's weird.
Like, that's really weird that he's got his face on there.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I'm in an anime. I mean,
we got cat girls and weird shit.
Right.
I'm in an anime.
We've had every character from Mad Max make a background appearance in this thing, but this.
And truly, like, I was watching this. I was looking out for coots and for faces, because also, let's face it, that bar fight scene, I was watching the background characters as much as anything, because
Some
characters.
Like
the dudes with matching wigs, like with the severe bangs that were connected by, I don't know, a tube.
Yeah. It was like
Wonder Twins activate. I don't fucking know. Yeah.
A weird clown guy with a metal face drinking beer with a straw.
Yeah, I saw that guy.
Yeah, Burning Man was weird.
You know, and I really enjoyed the saloon scene to see everybody getting drunk. I just enjoyed that.
Yeah, just getting tanked. Everybody.
Mm-hmm. And then even in the drunk, like Amelia was kind of doing some drunken master type stuff, slipping it like. Dodging some punches. It was pretty cool to see.
that's pretty cool. Truly rolling with the punches, as it were.
Hey.
And then she threw up on Bash later.
That was pretty great.
That's pretty great. He's being a creep, so he deserved it.
This is true. He was being a creep. Like, be a creep, get vomited on. It's the way of the world.
Yeah.
That's right. You
know? The punishment fits the crime.
Remember, fellas, if you're a creep to a lady, she'll vomit all over your back.
I also enjoyed, she seemed to have a legit allergic reaction to being touched by a man.
I love that. That was great.
And I love how they never addressed that. It's just like, it happened a couple times. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
And then they never talked about it ever again.
Yeah, I thought that was going to, like, be a thing. And I was just like, come on, Vash. Leave that poor lesbian alone. She clearly is not into dudes. Like, she can't be more not into dudes. Like,
right. Literally an allergic reaction.
Mm-hmm. What more do you need? Come on now.
Cooties.
Yeah, go back to your smoked Thomas.
Right, go back to
your... Yeah, your smoked Thomas and your donuts.
Oh, shit.
But that's, you know, I don't know if you want to start going into segments. But,
let's do it.
Yeah.
But, like, I'll tell you, this is why I think Kane brought the face.
He happens to be a sweet-looking dude.
Because he had his face on the end of a golden freaking missile.
Yeah, that's...
See?
That's hard
for
to beat.
For me, the face will go to Gasback, I think, when the doors burst open to the city, and he's just backlit, and he's just, you just see him from like an angle from down below, and he's just, he looks like he's about to make his entrance into the WWE, like like fight du jour.
Truly, it is. That
oh
is
my god, whose music
power.
Is that?
And his name is
Fart Ass.
He's got a steel chair.
Oh, here he comes! Comes down and he fucking suplexes Kane.
I mean, I have been watching a lot of professional wrestling, so...
Hey, rad stuff is rad. Let's just call it what it is.
And Lucha Libre especially, which is also on Tubi. If you look up Lucha Underground, I'm on season one. It's incredible.
Yeah. I loved Gasback's design because, he looked like a professional wrestler. And I also liked, he seemed to be like the art of the robbery. I take pride in my robberies. Don't ruin my robbery. Yeah. And to me, that seemed very spaghetti Western to me. Like that would be a thief who's like, I'm about the artistry of like what I can steal.
Right. Like, it's like most of your average criminal, like any other media, is just be like, I want to get that big score so I can, like, run away to, like, Monaco and disappear or
something. That was his goons. His goons were like, we don't want to steal all that. We want to get money and then, like, settle down. And he's like, no, I'm the. Why don't you want to work hard at being the best robber you can be?
It's like, you're fucking crazy. Exactly. I'm on Team Goon for that one. Like, you know what? Why? What is the point? To terrorize and steal things? Nah. No, I just want to do nothing.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I want to make a ton of cash so I never have to work ever again.
Yeah. That's going to bring me to I really want to give the face to Tiny Casino Hitler. I don't know that he deserves it, but when they showed that old black and white photo of this short little Hitler looking guy in front of his casino with a shit-eating grin on his face, I was like, I like this little bastard.
That's what Hitler did after the war. He went to Vegas.
Vegas. Oh, that's shit. Terrible. Vegas Hitler. Oh, God.
So this I don't movie know that I, Argentina. I'm going to give him an honorable mention just because I just love that picture. And then they also did, they had a picture of it after Gasbeck, I guess, had blown it up, which I'm like, that's not really a robbery. You just blew it up.
Yeah. You robbed the man of his livelihood.
I mean, he could have pulled an Ocean's 11. I mean, come on. Oh, that's true. You're right. Because he was always like, I'm going to steal your life or whatever. I was like, that's a murder. That's not a robbery.
You see, Amy, it's a red, it's a metaphor for bang, 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 come on, boom.
So he had a pretty fast and loose definition of robbing.
Rampant, gratuitous
destruction. You know what my theory is?
What?
I think the greatest robber in this film was his wife, because she stole his heart.
Go to jail.
Boo.
Jail. Go. Now.
Boo.
Shit.
Oh, man.
For shame.
I know.
I mean, yeah. No, I can't get behind that. I'm sorry.
Hey,
like, I'm glad you said it. I'm glad you said it. Mm-hmm. But no.
It's on the record now.
I mean, the real winners here is going to be Dunkin' Donuts, which is where I'm going to go on the way to work tomorrow.
Yeah, those donuts are good.
I feel compelled now.
Yeah. And I've been eating pretty good all week. I had freaking, we don't need to put this in the podcast, but I was late because I had cabbage curry for dinner.
Oh, ooh. Snap.
Speaking of gas back.
Farts.
Anyway.
Oh, shit. Did everybody give a face? I think everybody gave a face.
Your face was little Hitler.
Yes, I was little Hitler.
Tiny casino Hitler.
Tiny casino Hitler. I mean, I feel like that's honorable mention. I really liked, I don't know, I was just very, very taken with Wolfwood and his sunglasses and his, like, spy outfit.
Yeah.
Deep V.
And his perfect hair.
Yeah.
It's like, like perfect scene hair from 2010. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, maybe like, it was just nostalgia but I just enjoyed that.
That's Definitely.
Definitely. What about coots? Do we got coots? Stu, you got a coot?
This extraordinary creature is half blind, half deaf.
It's that old coot.
I don't know if we had a coot. Did we have a coot?
Yes.
Oh.
I have
who's
a coot.
Who's our coot? All right.
I'm going to say the lady on the hovercraft who clapped for Vash.
Oh, yeah. Little old lady.
Bagged the goon, literally put the goons in a bag, and she's just clapping. She's the only one. Everyone else is silent, and she's just clapping. Like, great job.
The goons.
Thanks for taking care of those a-holes. I love that.
She was so supportive. Like, yay!
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go with bank teller coot. In the opening scene,
right?
The guy who was like, oh no, it's Vash the Stampede. Oh God!
Yeah, he's gonna kill us all. Oh God!
That was like a Barney Fife coot, but like reimagined as an anime bank teller. And I'm okay. I'm here for it.
Yes.
Don Knotts, I approve.
Don Knotts in a Western anime. My God.
Oh God! Please no.
Yeah. Turn those looks up to 11.
Yeah. Thanks. I hate it.
Those are gonna
go off the screen. They're gonna be so big. I love it.
Oh, I'm already uncomfortable.
Maybe Don Knotts actually escaped from an anime. Maybe that's...
Maybe he would look normal if you put him back in.
Oh, that's good. So, Stu, have you thought... Are we still without a coot on your end?
I'll
give you another coot. ish.
Okay.
I'll give you a coot to think about.
I'll give you a coot.
Oh, I'll give you a coot.
See here.
I don't know that he's necessarily a coot, but another character from the hovercraft scene was the guy in purple who just, his whole role just seemed to be like, let me stir shit up. Like, he was just talking shit. And then, like, because at first I was like, oh, is he going to be an asshole like those other goons? But then as soon as they were getting beat up, he's like, oh, they shot their gun on the ship. I think we have to punish them now. I was like, you just want to start shit, you little purple bastard.
Yeah. Purple bastard and, like, I don't know, was that a bullfighter's costume?
Yeah, I don't know. Looked like a little matador.
That was Mr. Mixplick in the alternate dimension when he's not fighting Superman.
Q on vacation.
Oh, God. Q on vacation. Not to be confused with QAnon. This is a Star Trek reference, you nerds.
Yeah. Right.
Q and K.
Exactly. That's like the only references I know. Just assume it's Star Trek if you ever don't understand one of my references. Oh, shit.
And how. And then, of course, we've got the saloon.
Yes. With my favorite scene in the entire movie, that wonderful, wonderful fist fight. So, yeah, it was primo. It was a good saloon. Just, like, plain brown walls, which, you know, is just covered with filth and tobacco and spit. The ceiling's unfinished. Lazy ceiling fans going around, and just a bunch of just like weird figures from like 1980s cartoons, Mad Max and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles villains. It was just like, yup, shit's gonna go down. And it did in spades. And it featured a man running out of a saloon with an armful of bullets.
Yes.
It's chaos at its finest.
You always love to see it.
what do you think? I mean, like, all right. Here, let me, since we all know we love that saloon, that's the saloon we're all going to go with. What would you, if you were in that saloon, what would you order for a drink?
Beer. It looked really refreshing. Probably a shot. Yeah. Give me a Boilermaker.
I'd like to try their tequila.
I'm going to guess. I'm just going to guess this is the kind of place that would have, like, some sort of weird local liquor that's, like, I don't know, space soju or something like that.
Yeah.
They're like, look, you got to be real hardcore to do this. Just be like, you know what? Yeah. And then you like drink beer the rest of the night. But like you start off with like, like whatever the bottle without a label that's like hanging out that everybody's drinking from. And it's like, what's that? I want it.
It's like, we call this the knife water because it stabs your insides. It's like knives. Oh god.
Genuine Mississippi knife water.
Yes.
The label is actually just like a dog sleeping on a front porch.
Knife water.
It has a knife in it, like that pear brandy. Like, gotta infuse it with those knife flavors.
You drink it and automatically a gunfight just breaks out. Just like, pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like when you're pouring it.
Just as about you're about to finish the bottle, the glass explodes. Now you have a weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? For the fight that you started from drinking knife water.
Yeah.
It was meant to be.
I love it.
Awesome. Yes, that's what I would be having, and I'm glad you went down that rabbit hole with me. Thank you very much.
No, anytime.
Any that ends in a chaotic, ultimately meaningless fight, I'm here for it.
Yeah. Is it really an Old West saloon if there's no fist fight?
Right.
Like, what are you even doing if there's no fist fight?
The science is there, Amy.
Exactly. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is our first genuine saloon brawl.
Full saloon brawl.
Full saloon. Everyone's in there mixing it up. People just be like, oh, we're having a fight. Who's winning? You know what? Don't give a shit. I'm just going to start wailing.
Well, my favorite bit of that is when some guy punches another guy who is like stomping on a dude's crotch.
Yes.
Only to take his spot in the crotch stomping.
Yeah, it's almost
that looks fun. I want to do that.
Right, like who are you crotch stomping? Is that Gary? Fuck, I hate Gary. You get out of here. My turn.
I like to imagine that the writers when they crafted that scene, they were bent over in laughter because I know I was.
It's like, what if one guy's stomping on another guy's dick? Oh, that's great. Then what if somebody else takes over?
Just shoves it out of the way and says, wait, let me at him. The guy on the floor is like, oh, thank God. Oh, no.
Oh, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
This took a turn.
Now, no. It seems like the writer's room may have been a pretty drunk place. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have been a fly on that wall.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I love that.
Oh,
shit.
Man. It was, again, this is like the animated westerns that I've been on board for have been very entertaining, y'all.
Yeah, this has been a blast.
Hey, Stu, you got a postcard?
I do. I do have a postcard. I have two, actually. One is a serious one, and the other one is less serious. The serious one is after presumably Vash has died. There's Wolfwood is leaning back on their Range Rover, it looks like, and he's like got his Zippo out, and he's about to light up a cigarette, and the sun's coming in, and it's just so fucking cool.
That was
so
rad.
Fucking cool. The landscapes in this, to my knowledge, were kind of lacking, but I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. What do you guys got?
I disagree. I have one specific landscape, but perhaps Amy, I'm going to see if you guys pick the same postcard that I have. Amy, can you correct Stu on his wrong opinion?
Stu?
Who's dumb and his face is dumb, right?
Stu, you ignorant slut. I didn't think the landscapes were that bad. I didn't actually pick a landscape for my postcard moment because there was the scene when they were all drunk walking back to the, you know, walking back to the hotel, and they had the shot going up to the sky where you got to see the night sky and all the stars. I thought, I was okay. Like, I feel that. Like, I can almost feel the cool night breeze and, like, you know, there's still some heat coming off of the buildings and things, and you can hear the saloons, and I'm like, oh, I want to hang out there and have a couple drinks, and oh, I just enjoyed that. It was very beautiful.
All right, I stand corrected. I guess I was just so focused on like a daytime scene. For once, my mind just
exists.
Wait, what?
There is a night.
But where does the sun go, Amy?
Suns.
Where does it go?
It's a
double
secret.
Suns, like double dollars. Double dollars.
All right,
my object permanence is not good.
Drop some knowledge on us, Pat.
I have two landscapes in this. Oh. Just mwah. One, when the insurance ladies are on their chocobos or whatever, right. and they're going to the next, that I forget, I think they're going to check on the next town over, and they're riding through the night, and they're riding over the dunes, and the way they captured the moonlight on the dunes with the stars behind them, oh, mwah. I would send that home to mom.
Beautiful.
But also, in your description, Amy, of like the stumbling home drunk and the heat coming off the buildings, it got me thinking about the marshal walking home drunk, and he looks up the hill, and going up the hill, this very steep incline to the big light bulb, and he saw the neon pouring out onto the streets, and it was going up that very steep hill, and people are hanging out on their stoops. That's where I wanted to be. Like,
yeah,
I want to be
cool.
Sitting on one of those porches, like, with a, I don't know, like a nice cigar and a glass of whiskey, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Take me there now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a cool place to hang.
I miss that. Can we, like, I know I've got my first vaccine and I've got an appointment for my second. when we're all vaxxed up, can we all, like, hang out somewhere on a street and drink and smoke?
Yes. We'll record one of these in person together in the same room. And then we'll get fucking trashed.
Yes.
Not necessarily in that order.
Oh, yes. I like this idea, eh?
Drunk is so
weird.
I'll make you guys watch Charmed and we'll drink and record.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do that thing. Let's very much do that thing. I so much want that.
I mean, part of me is like, you guys are going to hate it.
I was going to say Tombstone, but all right, Charmed.
Hey, Tombstone deserves our utmost, attention and
Let me quote my favorite Bagel Bites commercial and say, why don't we have both?
Why not both? We can do more than one thing.
But, I was going to mention, I said I had non-serious landscape, but that's fine. Because it reminded me of something that is actually real in real life. So first I got to find it first. It involves the small Central Asian country of Turkmenistan.
Well, all right then.
And I don't know if you've heard about this. Let's see.
I probably have not. I'll be honest with you.
Is that where a container ship is blocking global trade?
No. So the first president of Turkmenistan was one of those post-Soviet just weirdos. He built... Hold on. I got to find the statue of this guy. So you know how Kane builds this statue of himself with arms open and spinning around?
Yeah, that was pretty
the president
pretty
of Turkmenistan.
Extra.
The president of Turkmenistan built one of those of himself, and it spins so it's always facing the sun.
Oh my god, I love it.
And it's coated in gold.
Oh my god.
My god.
Oh my god, Cowboys field trip.
Sapar Murat Niyazov.
Where's President my golden for rotating life. Statue?
Right.
Oh
right.
My god. Which you know you're in for a treat of somebody's deep, deep flawed narcissism when they've labeled themselves president for life.
Yeah. Well, ooh, baby. The golden idol of yourself also is a big tip off.
Let's see if they yes, here it is. Thank you.
Share your screen with us, my good man.
Oh, please, please screen share.
I must see this.
It's like 10 stories tall or something.
Oh my god. What?
Oh
my god.
Oh.
Is there like is that a banner flapping behind him? Also yes. Made of gold.
Also made of gold.
Wow, and look at the creases on those pants. That is
sharp.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh
shit,
boy, I love it.
That must be what that's modeled after. Because
so when I die, I want one of those of me over my grave. Can you guys do that for me?
You got it, bro.
Does it have to be that big, or can it be like 3 or 4 inches tall?
Yeah.
But I want a beer in one hand and like a hoagie in the other.
We will make it happen.
Stu, I got a really important question for you about this.
Okay.
What do you want on your hoagie?
I'll take an Italian cold cut with everything on it. No tomato.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I got it. I got it written down. Your last will and testament involves
the
30-foot tall golden statue.
The bonus part, if we make it to scale, if we make it actual size, like as big as this one, the party sub is just going to look like a regular hoagie.
Oh shit! Oh my god!
So, president for life, Niyazov slash Kane.
Hoagie for life.
Hoagie for life. Party sub for life.
Yes.
So I bet I know what happened in the writer's room. Like, all right, what's the most insane thing that this guy can do with his untold wealth after he buys this electric plant? Like, well, he builds a statue of himself and it spins around. And then one of the guys was like, no, this exists. You have to see this. And they're like, we got to make this. This is so dumb.
Wrap it up.
And they even toned it down from the real life one. I was like, shit, I thought that was a lot that this guy did in town. I was like, no, they pulled back a little.
amazing Stu, your last wishes will be granted. When you die, we will make you party sub for life.
Party sub for life, a bronzed party sub.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, oh you, I was just gonna replace it every couple of weeks.
Oh shit.
Yes. No, that's even better.
In lieu of flowers, please leave hoagies.
Oh.
And just at your funeral, instead of flowers, there's just sandwiches. Big picture lined in like footlongs.
Sartana is coming. Trade your guns for a deli.
Oh my god. In lieu of flowers, send hoagies. God damn.
Well, how do we want to rate this absolute delight?
I really liked it. I give this like a 5 out of 6, I think. I'd watch that again.
I could watch it again right now. I'm going to give it the full 6. I'm going to give it full 6 Sabatas.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it 5 billion double thumbs up.
Double dollars.
Double dollars. Listen. So I don't know if I explained this concept well enough Amy. We pay in dollars.
Just one at a time.
Right. Now follow me here.
Okay.
Two at a time. Double dollars.
So okay.
It says 60 so million. Does that make it 120 million?
No. It's double dollars.
These are double dollars.
Oh, okay.
Like it's got it. We used to have dollars, but it's the future now. So now they're double.
So Pat, what you're trying to tell me is don't worry about it.
Well, hold on. Let me put it a different way. You know how they have Bitcoin now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, what if they had double Bitcoin?
That'd be different, right?
It's the future, and they just doubled it somewhere in there.
At least they didn't call them like new dollars or future coin.
Oh man, I'm sorry for beating that horse, but it makes me happy to beat that horse into glue.
It's all right. We're gonna turn that into carpet. Funny.
Because I kept seeing the $2 signs, and I thought they were just like being like very excited about it, like, oh my gosh, no. $5 billion. Oh, but no, it's $5 billion.
No, double dollars.
The only way that could have been better is they put an exclamation point at the end of it.
In between the $2 signs.
So when you go to collect your award, I'm here. You have to shout it. I'm here to collect my $5 million.
But you wouldn't say that in this movie because it was double.
It's the two.
You take the one.
It's and you add another, and then you have the two.
That means you have to say it twice, right?
Yeah, I need my $5 billion.
Double dollars, but they're double. Dollars. Don't forget, because the whole thing is double dollars.
With the two and the dollars.
But you don't actually multiply the number. It's just double dollars.
It's just two. Yeah, it's not, there's no math. It's just, yeah.
We don't need to bring math into this concept.
There's no math in anime or westerns.
There's no crying in baseball.
There's no math in westerns. All we need to do is count to 6.
I can barely do that on any given day.
That's why, like, you know, that's why it's like fights always happen at like dawn or noon. Because it's like, I can't read a clock. What are those symbols on there?
Where's the sun? Okay, I shoot you now.
I think that could be our first shirt. There's no math in westerns. You only need a new, no, two numbers, six bullets, and high noon. Bam.
You know what? Let's put that out to our listener. Is there a phrase that you have heard on this show that you want to see on a shirt? Let us know at cowpunchersshow@gmail.com.
Nice.
Or tweet at us, or don't. I don't care.
I'll make the shirt. Oh.
Exactly. We'll find a way.
I'll make it.
There's a way.
We'll get some puffy paint up in here. We got this. Paint. Might be a little janky, but
I'm just gonna buy a white Hanes undershirt. Just take a Sharpie. Magic marker to it. Yeah.
Guys, I actually went to a show once here in the Shenandoah Valley, and there's a band called Razor Blade, RazorBlaid. Unclear. Sure. And they had shirts you could buy. It was their name written in Sharpie on white Hanes undershirts.
Not even a beefy tee, huh?
Nope, not even beefy. That was a Hanes undershirt that said Razor Blade. And to this day, I regret not buying it.
I know. Like, I would too. At that point, it's just like, ironically, I just need this undershirt that someone scribbled on.
I would frame that thing. Are you kidding me? This is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Put that in your bar and be like, how is the band?
This rad shirt.
Their merchandising was on point, though.
Yeah. Got this bitchin' tee.
Oh, that's it. Holy all right, shit. Y'all. Awesome.
Well, this has been a fun one. I hope you all had fun listening to us ramble on about this wonderful thing. I think it's a universal assessment. Watch Trigun Badlands. What is it? Badlands? What the fuck?
Rumble in the Badlands.
Rumble in the Bronx.
We don't know the title of the movie.
Yeah, we all recommend Trigun Badlands Rumble. Go out, watch it. You're going to have a great time. You're going to want to watch it again the same evening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, like, leave a review, tell us we're good, or tell us we suck. You know, we can take it. We're adults.
I might cry.
But thank you all for listening. Again, I am, as always, the deputy, Stu Kaufman.
And this week, I'm your tiny casino Hitler, Amy McLeod.
And don't take my giant free energy producing light bulb from the center of my town. My name is Pat Jarrett.
Y'all watch yourselves out there on the trail.
Yeah!
I'll edit all that out. Don't worry.